I like your rabbit picture, Joel, but I couldn't tell if he was having a bad hair day or if Mom was yelling in his right ear. At one time or another, most of us have been taken advantage of. And more than likely, we were taken advantage of because of our good nature. Most nice people are taken advantage of at one time or another. We just live in a world where there are folks who are greedy and selfish. When they see someone nice, they put a bullseye on their back, and they hope to milk them for as much as they can possibly get. It could be anything from asking for money, asking for help with a task, maybe even taking your time. But what we need to know is how, as Christians, should we respond to people who are constantly taking advantage of us? Should we simply give in to their every desire? Do we commit a sin when we refuse to help someone? What does the Bible tell us? You know, a lot of people will go out and they'll buy Dave Ramsey books on how to be wealthy and maintain your wealth and manage your money, but, you know, most of what he writes, he got out of the Bible. And that is because the Bible has a lot to say on how we are to manage our finances and how also we are to respond to people who are in need. Not everyone who asks are in need. Some try to take advantage just because they're either greedy or lazy. The Bible has a lot to say about that too. We are called as Christians to be generous. We are called as Christians to help one another. But we do not have to, as Christians, give in all circumstances. And there are times where we need to chastise those who try to take advantage of us because of their mismanagement or because of their selfishness. Generally speaking, as Christians, we are called to be givers and we are called to be generous with the blessings that God has given us. The Bible tells us, Jesus specifically, in Mark 8, verse 34, tells us that we are to die to self. That if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, it's been said you can't teach common sense. The Bible teaches some things that are contrary to human common sense. Like the person who generously gives more will receive more. And those who give less will receive less. We find that in Proverbs 11, verse 24. One who gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should be giving and only suffers want. The Bible tells us that if we do have the material resources and there is a brother or a sister that is in need, then we should by all means do what we can. There are a lot of great people in this world. But even great people fall on hard times. This is what we call life. It's not always good. The Bible says that if we can help someone in a need like this, then by all means, we should do everything we can. But I also need to make sure we understand the difference between need and want. We have absolutely no obligation to help someone live in luxury. You know, many years ago, right after Hugo had hit in the Charleston area, the North Charleston church, we had trailer loads and trailer loads of food and clothes that were delivered to the church building. We would spend anywhere from 9 o'clock in the morning until curfew at 7 o'clock at night giving out food. And once those needs were met and the most of it was off, we still had a pantry load of food. Getting the phone calls, I worked benevolence there, and people would call wanting groceries. There are areas in North Charleston, if anybody's ever been through there, that you don't go by yourself. You don't go if... I'm not even going to go there. I would partner up with the elders at Azalea Drive, black congregation in North Charleston, and we would go. And there were several times that we would go and we would drop off the food only to go into the kitchen and boxes of food were piled up to the ceiling. You see, that was just being greedy. There was no wants in that household. The elder that I went with, God rest his soul, picked up the box of food and took it back out to the car. He said, there are people who truly need these and you aren't one of them. As churches, we see these things all the time. But for those who have a valid need, we have an obligation. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, John said, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Jesus taught us that when people ask of us that we should do what we can to accommodate their requests, if possible. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. God loves everybody, just doesn't like what they do. But if you notice, we are to love our enemies. And we are to even lend it to them if we have to. And that's probably one of the most difficult things that we find ourselves in. And we'll be torn between the two. But it does contain a blessing if we obey it. Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 30, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Why would we do this? It's so that we can also show the love of Christ. But we must not shower them with material possessions. But if we do see them hungry, we feed them. If they're thirsty, we give them something to drink. If you find them broken down along the side of the road, if you can help them with their problem, help them. If you can get them help, get them help. If you can give them a ride, give them a ride. We must always be prepared to do an act of kindness. And in doing so, we will fulfill the law of Christ. The Bible also teaches that we are to give to everyone who asks. It also says that if we agree to let somebody have some of our possessions, we should never demand them back. Even if we let someone borrow something and they lost it, we should overlook that offense. I don't know about the car or the truck. We do not have to go bankrupt in helping others. Now, there's a story of a neighbor who every other day went next door and borrowed another tool. Later on, after about 2 or 3 months, the man that he was borrowing all the tools from come over and knocked on his door. The guy answered the door and he said, "Hey, can I borrow a hammer?" And so his next door neighbor kept coming back every other day or so asking for another tool till he got all his tools back. If someone needs, if someone is begging us to help, then we should do that. In Luke 6, verse 30, Jesus says, "Give to every man that begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back." We're called to be generous. But the Bible does not tell us to give ourselves into the poorhouse. If our own financial health would be ruined or hurt seriously by giving in a loving way, we need to deny the requests. Discernment and caution is the key. God has blessed us, but God has also required of us to be good stewards of those blessings. If we overspend, if we help so many people that we ourselves become poor, that can be a trap for us to sin. Paul teaches in 1 Timothy 5 that if we cannot take care of our family's needs, we are worse than an unbeliever. I may say some things here that I don't mean to be harsh or hard, but it's just a fact. If we have even our own family members who are capable of taking care of their family's needs but refuse to take responsibility in meeting the needs, you are not obligated to meet their needs, as hard as that may sound. But if it's something temporary, by all means, we do what we can. The first principle to keep in mind when helping others is that Christians have an obligation from God to manage resources in a way that they can continue to provide for themselves and their families. And we have the absolute right to turn down any requests that go beyond our means. You know, even the apostles had turned down requests. The first and best example I know of is in Acts 3 and verse 6. The lame man that was begging for money, and Peter said to him, "Gold and silver I don't have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He gave the man something more than he could ever ask for. And now this man has the means and the capability to provide for himself. Sometimes we just need to look past what the person is asking for to see what they truly want. A lot of people want a new car when in actuality what they really need is just reliable transportation. Some think they need money to pay their bills when what they really need is someone to teach them to manage their resources. Give a fish, feed a day, teach to fish, and feed a lifetime. And we should not give if it will help someone commit a sin. That makes us an accomplice. Not long after I started working here, I had a knock on the door. The young lady that came in with who she claimed was her brother needed some money for a prescription for someone they claimed to be a caregiver for. And I offered to go with them to the pharmacy to pay for the prescription, and they left. We just need to be very careful. offer to go that extra mile to help someone. Some of you may remember it a few weeks ago, you pulled into the parking lot, there was this real nice pickup truck sitting out front. And we came in and said someone, the person that was driving the truck needed gas and wanted to go to the gas station to fill it up. Now, it was a brand new truck. It was at least $60,000. And it was diesel at $4.35 a gallon. Brother Dale talked to her and said he'd be glad to, after services were over, to go put fuel in her truck. And she left. Wouldn't hurt 2 hours if there was a true need. Jesus has sharp words for anyone who contributes to another person's sin. And especially if that other person is a believer. He spoke it in Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. Now, in a sense, he was talking about children, but it's about anyone who believes. He says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone wrapped around his neck and thrown into the sea. You know, sometimes those who take advantage of us need a little chastising. Sometimes that's all it takes in order for someone to wake up and to realize what they're doing. How many times have we helped someone and yet they continue to come back and ask for more and ask for more? They continue to live the lifestyle that they're living, and yet they're always short at the end of the check. Maybe we even know what kind of life they're living. Maybe we even know that they're kind of lazy. You know, it was Paul that would not put up with these people. In Thessalonica, they had a problem. There, it wasn't a bad come. They were really looking forward to Jesus coming back. And that's a good thing. But there were those who were so waiting for it that they quit working. They were just sitting around waiting for that day to come. And so they were mooching off of their brothers and sisters in Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command that if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. This was that bold command to those people who were idle. They didn't want to work. And he said, well, that's fine. If you're going to be lazy, go ahead and be lazy. Your stomach's just going to be burning because it's hungry. We don't want to be accomplices to laziness or to those who are wrapped up in their sins. You know, we live in an age where pretty much anybody in need can get a government check or find some kind of assistance or get health care. When the Bible was written, that wasn't the case. But it doesn't mean that people do not have needs today. It just means that we as Christians need to be aware that there are other resources available that can help. It doesn't have to be put solely on our shoulders. For those who take advantage of us, and that advantage becomes sinful, then we need to teach them God's principles. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20, for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. when we do this, this is what will happen. The answer is in James chapter 5 and verse 20. Let him know. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. If we're walking in obedience to God, we're going to know when we should give and when we shouldn't. And we need to prepare those, prepare to help those in need. Not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also our enemies, as long as we do not destroy our own financial well-being. We need to guard ourselves against greed and laziness. You know, sometimes people find it easier to take advantage of than to get a job. It's easier. But we do what we can, but we just need to do it with discernment. And there is a difference between helping and enabling. Helping is doing something for someone else who is not capable of doing for themselves. Enabling is doing things for someone else that they can and should do for themselves. I hope this might answer some, if anybody is dealing with these on a regular basis, so that we do know what the will of God is and what we can and can't do. But we just must be very careful in what we do. Help those we can, and say no to those when we can't. They're asking too much of us. Take a step back. If it's beyond your means to help and they need more, then help them find that other place that they can get the help they need. If you are not a child of God tonight, we want to give you the opportunity to become one. The repentance, confession, New Testament baptism for the remission of your sins. You can become that child of God. We'll add you to His church. If you are a child of God and you need our prayers, or you need to make something right, things right with God, or maybe with someone else here, we want to give you that opportunity also. Won't you come as together we stand and we sing.